Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you so much for listening. Welcome, new listeners, and thank you. I'm feeling, you know, I'm just feeling very thankful, listeners, for you taking your time. You know, that's one thing that we have a limited amount going through this journey called life, and taking your time to listen. Whether you like the show, you don't like the show, thank you for listening. I just want to throw that out there. I am your happiness specialist. That's right. I'm going to say the world's only happiness specialist. And what does that mean? That means in every moment, I am making conscious decisions to experience happiness. And I say happiness is the same as peace, contentment, relaxation, balance, satisfaction. Did I say that already? And it is a vibration. You know, we are all energy and we vibrate. You can feel the difference whether you're feeling light or whether you're not feeling light. You can feel the difference of being angry, of being at peace. So I'm talking about, on this show, I talk about how to experience more of those peaceful moments. It's just that simple. How to experience more peace, a.k.a. happiness, in your life. And there is a formula. It is a formula for happiness, like there is a formula for water, H2O. There is a formula for happiness, and there's a lot of different components. The trick is we have all been programmed for unhappiness, which is the title of my second book, the one I'm writing now. We have all been programmed for unhappiness. So this show just exposes the programming, gives you formulas, gives you concrete how to experience more happiness, how to feel more content, how to be at peace, regardless of what happens outside in the world, regardless of what happens in your own experience, regardless of what other people are doing and or saying. This happiness, this peace. In fact, come on. Isn't everybody on the planet searching for it, wanting it? Now, my happiness is going to feel, in other words, what I think, what I feel, what I believe is going to bring me peace, maybe is going to be different than someone else. But there is a searching, you can feel it in the songs that are written, in the movies that are written, in the books that are written. What we tend to believe, this longing, this feeling. And when you're not at peace, when you don't feel peaceful, and I'm talking about an internal peace, something's wrong. What's the focus? There's always going to be something. So this internal peace, when you practice behaviors that add to happiness and add to peace and eliminate the behaviors that subtract from happiness, you are going to be rooted in, grounded in peace. Doesn't that sound good? Huh? Well, I just want to remind you that I am available. You can contact me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. I am available for weekend workshops, seminars, stay tuned. We're going to, I'm going to try to put together, not try, scratch that word, try. I'm going to put together a weekend retreat by invitation only in Oregon, coming to you soon. So my purpose on this planet, my destiny and my purpose is to teach people how to. Now, I've got my hand raised. This is not a, has been a cakewalk for me, especially if you've known me for, what, last 20, 30, 40 years. This is not a cakewalk. I was a regular civilian minding my own business, thinking that what I was doing was, of course, it makes sense. Why isn't everybody behaving like I'm behaving? Of course I have a reason to be angry. It's always the other person's fault. In fact, let me just throw something out really, really quick. I was talking to someone, and I used a word, and the word was find your, it was more than one word, it was something about find your power or you're powerful. I was discussing that you're powerful, find your power, and this person said, you know, that's a trigger for me, this finding your power. I've got my power in my own hands. And for whatever reason, it bothered them. And so I want to throw this out there, that if there are any words, the words that bother you, what are they called, those words? Oh, shoot. It starts with a B. I can't believe I can't think of it. But anyway, those trigger words that bother you. Oh, button. If things that push your button, words that push your button, words that push your button, if there are any words that push your button, guess what? The solution is not to avoid hearing those words, or the solution is not to let somebody know that that word pushes your button. So don't ever use that word around me, because that word bothers me, or those words bother me. The solution is, you know, these words that are out there, oh, I'm offended by this word, all of this, these people, these people that are so sensitive and offended. Well, guess what? It's nobody else's fault. If you have buttons that are being pushed, especially by words, it's up to you to eliminate your buttons. It's not up to the world to change for you, because it's going to be impossible. It's going to be impossible, because if the whole world, trust me, if the whole world stops using this find your powers saying, you're going to find something, there's going to be something else that's going to be pushing your buttons. So the solution, there's a solution to every single issue. So the solution is not to let everybody know what bothers you. The solution is to look in the mirror and find out, okay, I got to eliminate that button. And pretty soon you'll be able to hear anything, or you will be able to experience anything peacefully. And that's really the goal. That's the goal. You know, I talk about not having any goals, but there is a goal to being more peaceful. More peace you feel, the more internal peace you feel, the happier you will be. Can I get an amen on this Sunday morning? Not everybody said amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. Just give me. Come on. Oh, you don't have to. So today's topic is dear to my heart, and I have never talked about this because, quite frankly, I didn't consider this an issue. You know, I have a list of things that add to happiness and subtract from happiness, and I'm going to have to throw this on the list as what subtracts from happiness. And when I say happiness, let me define it. The definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. That's it. It doesn't matter what somebody does. It doesn't matter what somebody does. It's to be at peace. And again, it's not your fault, my dear audience. It's the programming that we all received, that if you lose your wallet, then there is an instant reaction, just like a robot. You're going to be upset. or somebody cuts you off on the road, especially you California people, somebody cuts you off on the road, oh, road rage. Road rage, that road rage is just programmed actions, programmed reactions. It's a programming. There's no such, you know, you were taught to have road rage. Anyway, I digress. Today's topic is really, for me, it's really interesting because, as you know or not, or don't know, a year and a half ago, I moved from California, being California resident all my life, Los Angeles, born and raised, moving to Oregon. And let me tell you something. A small town in Oregon, not a big city. Now, I'm not talking Portland. I'm not talking big cities. No, I'm talking about a very, 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 very small town. The town is so small you can get anywhere in 15 minutes. And I'm talking about from downtown to the outskirts of town. There's only one freeway exit, just one. And it was a big adjustment for the city girl. But again, I'm off topic. The reason why I'm talking about this clutter topic today is happiness and clutter. And you know that it's never anything outside. You know that the struggle or that feeling of imbalance or unhappiness or angst, irritation, anger, anxiety, all that stuff is an internal issue. All of it. All suffering comes from all the suffering comes from inside. It's an inside job. You've heard that. You know that. And I'm just reminding. It's always internal. Now, moving from California to Oregon, I got rid of a lot of stuff. I got rid of a lot of crap. But what I found was that I also brought a lot of crap with me. Hey, reality, spirituality, and if you want to say hi, greetings, Nate, I see you listening. So if you want to say something, press one. If not, that's good. The day's topic is happiness and clutter. Oh, no, okay. All right, hold on. I got a caller right away. Let's see if I can bring him up. Well, good morning, Nathan. Good morning, afternoon, and good evening, Nathan, from wherever you're listening.
That's right. Good morning and everything to you.
Well, thank you. So today's topic is happiness and clutter, and I was just starting the topic, and I'm going to have to give you kudos for my inspiration to even have this topic about happiness and clutter.
Well, I'll take that kudos, and I'll keep some of the kudos, and I'm going to declutter some of the other kudos. Get it?
No, I don't. But
I don't get it either.
No, I don't get it, but it sure was fun while I was listening to it. But let's move on. Next moment. Next one. So this is the thing. You've always, well, not always, but you know, because I watch you for inspiration. I don't listen to anything you say, but I do watch what your behavior for inspiration. And you did talked about a lot of decluttering, getting rid of a lot of things. And you're the one that told me, you said, Mom, you know, if I get rid of something, I can always buy it again. If I, you know, give it away, I can always get it again if I need it again. And that really stuck with me. Can you share a little bit about that philosophy and how you came to that philosophy?
Yeah, I came to the philosophy of if I get rid of something, I can get it again because I knew that I wanted less things in my living space. I knew that I would probably feel good having like a cleaning, but sometimes it was hard for me to know when to let go of something, especially if I haven't used it in a long time. I would use that as a basis to get rid of things. Well, if I haven't used it in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, but even things that I haven't used in a long time, I could see the practicality of them. And I could see my mind wanting to justify keeping a lot of things because I could use them in the future. And that's when I came up with, okay, I can just get it again. I also think it's a little bit of a lack-based mindset that I have with money of, well, I need to keep this because I spent $10 on it. Or I need to keep this so that I can sell this. And that was that. I just saw all these things giving me permission to hold on to this stuff and trusting that I'm abundant and trusting that if I really need something, an item, a material object, that it will come to me or I'll find the means to it, really helped release.
Well,
my things with money, too.
Yeah, you know, I really like the discovery, your discovery about this this vibration of lack, because we were talking, and it is a vibration. Everything vibrates. The emotions vibrate. You can feel the difference between a vibration of lack and a vibration of I have everything, a vibration of fullness, a vibration of – let me just say fullness as opposed to – because that word abundance, it gets tied into money a lot, and I just there's a feeling of fullness that really doesn't have anything to do with money or has anything to do with anything. It is just a feeling of feeling full and satisfied.
I just want to say I like that a lot. I like that change of words to fullness from abundance.
Yeah, because, and you know, that just came to me now, because that word is thrown around and abundant, and it's always linked to money. But I the feeling of satisfaction, the vibration of satisfaction, the vibration of fullness, the vibration of peace, has nothing to do with anything that I have, anything that I own. It has nothing to do with that. It is a vibration, a sense, and it is an energy that is emitted. And that's one of the reasons why this happiness, and I, you know, use the word happiness, peace, contentment. Contentment has nothing to do with having a lot of anything, money, clothes, even health. It is a vibration of contentment that overrides everything else, and that is what I like to talk about and teach and share. And this thing about, thank you, Nathan, for bringing that up, but this thing about cluttering that you brought to my attention, because everything happens for a reason. If something's been brought to your attention, then it's up to the other person to be inspired by it or not, because some people listening to this aren't even going to be inspired. But back to your decluttering, Nathan, I have a whole notebook that I'm looking at right now, a whole notebook from my 50th birthday. Do you know that I have a birthday card from when I was 2 years old? I have notes that my mother wrote about me. Becky knows her address, can say it by herself. My mother's writing 1958. Now, I have pamphlets of the World Trade Center. The World Trade Center was a 9/11. This was in what? In the late 1990s. And so this sentimental, use the term, oh, I'm sentimental, is another, for me, I'm looking at it as even more attachments that I'm finding that I have, attachments to the sentiment. Now, I have a question. Help me with this, Nathan, because I have this thing about, oh, this is my legacy. This is my life. This is, you know, my own museum. I even had my own museum at my birthday party. My own museum. Why am I saving these things? What is that? And you made a great suggestion to me about taking pictures and then just letting them go. Do you see any value in saving anything that's sentimental?
Oh, that's such a good question. So I think you said two really good points. Do I see value in saving things that are sentimental? I absolutely do. I just go off the basis if it really feels joyful to have it. When I hold it or I look at it, it's a no-brainer. I like seeing it. It's not hidden away somewhere. It's kept in good condition. I like keeping it in good condition. And I also really like what you said about this feeling of fullness not coming from anything, because I think in those moments when I feel really full, and it's not because of something I'm doing or because of something I have, it's really easy to look around me and see, well, no, I don't need this notebook, or I don't need this piece of furniture, or I do like having this item, and it's not because I feel like I need it. I just like it. I don't feel attached to it. There's a difference, I think, for me in liking something and being attached to something. And it's only when I'm in those moments of fullness that I'm able to discern the difference with some clarity. And I just want to tap on this because this resonates with me. You said keeping things for your legacy, almost like for me, I look at it like an autobiography of my life. And I like to do video blogs. I like notes, little artifacts too. And for some reason, I do have this mentality that there's some value to my timeline. There's some value to knowing where I was at this stage in my life. The only thing I'll say about this, and I'll throw it back to you, is I like having things on my timeline that show where I was at, changing and growing a lot. And I want me to be able to acknowledge, and anyone else that's inspired to look at it, that I didn't always come from this. I want you to be able to see where I came from, that there was work involved, that it took time. I just think that's cool to observe. And so often we see people in the limelight, and that's when we get to see them. But to see the journey to the limelight, I think, is what really helps and inspires ourselves and other people. But I'm going to sit with that legacy question for myself.
Yeah, well, one of the things that you said was to be able to see where I was before, and I definitely like that. And I'm gonna go, like you always say, go back to the vibe, because this vibe thing is, The vibe is very important to. I like that you said to be in that place of fullness and then making decisions. And I'm going to go through. Oh, geez, you just don't know. I have I found a letter from my god sister yesterday, 1977. I'm looking at a program. You know, I used to play piano, and my parents forced me to give recitals, which I really, this is my last recital because I froze, but I have my name here, 1972, a little program from SC. I was performing with a lot of other people, three songs from Mozart, Schumann, and Hook, and I remember just being so, I never liked memorizing anything, so when it was my turn, I go walk up to the piano. I play my first piece and my second piece. The more I played, the more nervous I was, and I just stopped. I went blank, and it was such an embarrassment. And that's what it really was, especially to my father. It was such an embarrassment that they never asked me to play at a recital again. I got out of that.
Wow.
Oh yes, I didn't want to, and they forced me. They forced me. So that was my first. That was my last. I had a lot of recitals before, but my last. But I have the program to this recital now. So there's a story behind it, and so I'm going to use your example of just following the vibe. Look at this, honor roll. I have a piece of paper that says honor roll, 1968. Well, I was in the seventh grade, and that means I got straight A's in 1968. I have my report card from junior high, 1968. So what am I, starting my own museum? Maybe, huh?
Maybe, you know, and who knows? And that's enough. Maybe we can jump on this principle that I like a lot, too, that I come back to, which there really is no right or wrong. Even if we talk about decluttering, even if we talk about fullness, there's just no guidebook to any of this that says, well, it's right to declutter things that are old. So just like you said, going back to the vibe, and I just want to throw this out there, this is as something that I use, especially with things that you said, they have a story to them. Like you just told that story of your recital that I enjoyed and all of our listeners enjoyed hearing. And, you know, I think you pick out the brochure, you have a little moment, tell the story, a little, I say, acknowledgement, and then that's that. And then maybe it's time to get rid of the program or not, but just that moment of, why do I have this brochure and why is this program coming up into my now? What is it bringing up for me? Anything? And just acknowledging it. I don't want to use the word gratitude, but I'll just use it. But with a little gratitude, especially if you're getting rid of something rather than just dumping it, like, oh God, it's like, thank you for the memories. Thank you for staying safe, whatever that feeling is. And then you dump it.
Well, you know what? You know, this is the thing. I can really discern whether something feels good to get rid of or whether something doesn't feel good or whether I'm just saving it now by habit. And one of the things that I like, because I was not raised in with the videos and social media, there are not a lot of videos, but these are my videos. These, everything that I've saved does have a story. And if I didn't have this, I would not have remembered. I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and remember all of this stuff. So for me, having it is just is another form of me going back and remembering. And I'm going to stick with that because I like, and I love that you said there's no right and there's no wrong. What I'm going to proceed is, because I have blood sister certificate, me and my best friend, 1970 blood certificate. We have a little saying, this certificate states that me and my other person have joined their blood. We cut ourselves. We even have drip blood on this. Now it's all brown. But, yeah. And it says here, cutting this, and she's Asian, she's Chinese, and I'm, you know, black. And it says, and this is 1970, cutting of this Negroes and Oriental girl was done by a razor blade. This is what I'm reading. I mean, first of all, we don't even say Negro anymore and Oriental anymore. I mean, that's politically incorrect, right? And so my friend says, now I'm part Negro. And then I say, now I'm part Oriental. I mean, this is all on this piece of paper.
Yeah, that's good.
So
that's gold.
Yeah, So what I'm saying is they're and everybody's different. So it's an individual game. We're as different as our fingerprints. But what I do want to acknowledge, Nathan, is there is a feeling, a vibration of being lighter, getting rid of bags and bags and bags of stuff that I've had. I was talking to you the other day about albums. I've got Michael Jackson albums. I've got Prince. I've got a whole carton of albums that I've been carting around since 1970, and I don't need them anymore. I'm ready to let go of them. So it's an individual thing, and there is a lightness that goes with that for me.
Yeah, I love that you just keep bringing it back to the vibe, because the albums, it feels good to keep the albums until a vibration says, well, no, I'm okay letting go of these albums. And just always
and
checking in with that. But yeah.
Yeah, and for me too, it's also discerning whether or not, do I really love these albums, like you said it earlier about loving them, or am I attached to saving?
Absolutely.
And I'm guilty. I am attached, or was attached to saving. I mean,
yeah.
Nathan, I have your little tag for your ankle when you were born. I showed you the other day. I have dad's. He wrote down from 12 o'clock midnight, from midnight to when I had you at 8:30, all of my contractions, how long it lasted. I still have 4 pages of his notes. Now, I think I like that. So it comes down to really going deep and feeling whether it's an attachment to saving. Do you have any? Does it feel? It's a feeling. How does it feel to you? And there's a very fine line of, just because I did it yesterday, because Dad texted me and said, well, you're really sentimental. Well, yeah, I did used to be very sentimental, but am I sentimental now?
That's huge too, because now you're just talking about not only saving things, but almost like saving parts of ourselves. It's like who I was, and then we're holding on to these aspects of ourselves, holding on to the fact that, oh, I always act like this, or this is what I like to do on the weekends. Well,
yes.
Just because I go out to a movie and shopping every Saturday for the last 5 years, maybe I don't want to do that this Saturday. I just like the idea of discerning the attachment, or is it just I like it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And going back to, you said,
yeah.
No, go ahead.
Just one more thing about this. This is something I use for myself too, is I think about people that have lost a lot of their items, whatever, a house fire or a flood, or maybe stolen, anything where they've just lost a lot of their precious items, where they're forced to be them. They're forced to just move on without their items. And I think, could I do that with things that I really like, or that, or even things that bring me joy? And the answer to me is always yes. Of course, I would be able to move on and live life without any of my stuff, not one item. So having that mentality really shifts my perspective about all my, and it really it almost devalues everything I have in a way that raises my own value that I always take with me. Because none of this stuff is mine anyway. I mean, quote, mine. I don't deserve to keep any of it.
Well, now you've opened up a new can of worms, because even the devaluing, I love the example with people that, and the pain of people that either lose their homes, fire, tornadoes, floods, or whatever, all of their items, whatever the reason is, and that is why all the pain and the suffering comes, because of the programming, not only the programming that all these things have value, number two, having the attachment to all of these things. You know, you said something about something brings you joy. There's nothing that brings joy. Joy is an eternal state. Joy is a state of mind. Peace is a state of mind. And when you're in that state, there are no objects that come, in other words, there are no objects that can claim that is the reason why. It's a very, very interesting and differentiating between programmed and reality. Something's going to bring me joy. Well, I can pretend or I can put it on there and say it is, but in reality, like you said, when I let go of all of it, and this letting go of attachments really came full circle when Grandma gave the house and all its contents to the handyman. I mean, I had to let go of everything in that family house in a snap. And it was letting go or not having any attachments or the seeing the devalue, not putting any value on any things is a lighter vibration.
Yeah, I love that. You said bringing joy, that this idea that things can bring us joy. I think they bring joy for a second, for maybe a minute. And but what are we talking about? Do we want a second of joy, or do we want, you know, a lifetime of joyful moments and a string of joyful moments? I mean, yes, it's going to go up and down. Life is full of contrasting all different colors of the rainbow experiences. But what are we actually putting our efforts towards? And you always used to ask me this question, you know, what's important to you? Peace? And it wasn't important to me. I mean, it was important to me for a little bit, but now I have a little bit of peace, but I gotta do all this work for everlasting peace. But now I'm finding I kind of hit a dead end, because even getting older and getting a different apartment or meeting new people, getting a new job, those were all what feels like to me just not sustainable joyful moments.
Temporary.
So
now you hit on something that is the whole core to what what I talk about on the show. Is that anything you can, you know, when you put an Emmy or a Tony or millions of dollars or whatever thing you want to focus on and say, oh, that's the reason why I feel good, or that's the reason why, point your finger at anything out there, I don't feel good, is a wrong thought. Because it's never about what's out there. It's always about the feeling inside, the vibration inside. And this journey back and forth is no joke. It is a moment by moment, like you say, checking into the vibe. And can you explain again to the audience what that vibe you're talking about? How do you define, give me your process and your vibe, and what do you do throughout your day when you say checking into your vibe, and what exactly is that?
I will say checking into my vibe, the first step of that is establishing what it really honestly feels like to be calm for myself. So if I have a calm moment or peaceful moment or satisfied or content, really settling into that, knowing what it feels like. I say like putting a bookmark in that feeling. So if I put a bookmark in that feeling and then I'm going through my day and I'm working and I'm talking and I'm using transportation, I'm moving around a lot, whenever I remember to, I just ask myself, am I really in a place of calmness that I remember feeling? Like I go back to that bookmark experience. And if I'm honest, I can tell if I am or not. If I am, that's cool. If I'm not in that place, then what adjustments I like that word. What adjustments can I make? Maybe I've already made the adjustments just by noticing it.
Mm.
Maybe I need to, just like how we talked about, when I told you I went to that, I was thinking that I was going to visit my friend at the bar. And then as I was walking to the bar, I could feel tension in me. I had a little interaction with the guard. It just wasn't smooth. And I checked in. Am I feeling that feeling of peace going to visit my friend at the bar? No, I'm not feeling that. What adjustments can I make? Well, in that moment, the adjustment was to turn around and not do this. And as soon as I made that adjustment, I have a feeling of peace rush over me. So the adjustments are always going to be different for me, but I like that step. Step one, establish what even peace feels like, and then step two, just check in and make adjustments as needed or wanted, I should say.
Well, I'm gonna throw this out because the topic today is happiness and clutter, and I'm gonna throw it out because we're all so different, and so I challenge my audience. I challenge you, my dear audience, to experiment. Because that's what this is. It's just an experiment. This is let's make it fun. Let's lighten it up just to experiment with letting go of some of the things that maybe I'll never let go of that. Or even if you don't want to. I mean, I had a mother who kept piling and piling up stuff, and she wouldn't get rid of anything, including a rubber band. Didn't you tell me you were working with somebody that saved rubber bands? So.
Rubber band.
You know what, with the
declutter thing, too, is, like you said, experiment and making it fun. That's so true. And if I'm going to get rid of something or not, I just move it to the other side of the room. Sometimes I just put it from here over there. And that feels good. Someone came to my room. Yeah. Why did you move the dresser over here? I don't know. That just felt nice to change it. And then I'll move it back. So you're right. Keeping fun, keeping light. And I like that experimenting. That's important, too. Because who knows if I want to get rid of it. Who knows if it's better over here. But I won't really know if I just keep it in my head. And with
that's
that,
a great story.
Dear RLN, I am off to teach.
Go ahead. Thank you. I'm going to end it with that, but
thank you
so much.
Thank you for having me on your show. Yes.
Well, thank you for listening. Okay. Have a good rest of the day. Thank you. All right. Dear audience, what a great topic. And let me say this. Back to the individual. This whole happiness and clutter is, like everything else, is an individual game. This is one-on-one. This is you and the universe. This is you and the universe, one-on-one. What I found is letting go of things that I used to just save just because I was a saver, just because I wanted to save it, or for whatever reason, legacy, my own museum. I'm going to build my own museum in the backyard. Will anybody see it? Who the hell knows? The animals will get back there and look at it. The issue is this. Feel it out. And my purpose for this show is just to encourage you to just be, just open it up. Shake it up a little bit. Do something different. Feel different. Open it up. Be lighter. Let go of something if you feel like it is. Let me just back it up. It's all about the vibe. It's all about the feeling. So for me, getting rid of bags and bags, and I'm talking about garbage bags, of stuff that I've saved, really felt lighter. And it just put another spotlight, because that's all it is, all this life is a spotlight. a personal spotlight on letting go of things that I just say forever just because I saved them. It's time to let go for me. It's time to let go, and who knows? It always comes back to the vibration. It always comes back to your energy. It always comes back. But shake it up a little bit. Be aware and have fun. Have fun decluttering if you are inspired to declutter. Woo! Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you so much for listening. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. You can find me on YouTube. I have a few videos on YouTube. You can just search Rebecca Norrington or Reality Spirituality. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com and or Lulu, L-U-L-U.com. Also, Reality Spirituality is heard on iHeartRadio now. Yay! I believe iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio. We are global, everybody. We are global. And until next week, I would like to remind you who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, you're always changing, you're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient, and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. Have a conscious week. You know what I did? I started playing this game. I said, I'm going to get rid of 10 things a day. 10 things a day. Now, you can cut that down to 5 things a day, or 1 thing a day, or nothing. But no buts. Scratch the butt. Have a conscious week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you for listening, everybody. Chat with you again next week.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real good.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Time to get real.